Anybody ever feel like that's kind of how we spend our lives, just digging and working and working and digging, and it seems like the only reason we do it is so we can go home, go to bed, get up the next day, and do it all over again. Anybody ever feel like that? You don't have to raise your hand or anything. I guess you can if you want to, but, you know, it seems like as people, that's what we do most of our lives. It's just the way the world works, the way it is. We work and work and just to get by, just to make a living, take care of our family, do all the things that have to be done. You know, it seems like, though, a lot of that work, a lot of the things we do, I don't know if I want to say it frustrates us or it gets us down or it's aggravating, you know. There's all kinds of problems with work, isn't there? There's the work that never gets done, or, you know, you get it done and then you have to do it again. Mowing the yard. How many just love to go out and mow the yard? We have a few strange people here this morning at CPC, not many. But, you know, we went on vacation a couple weeks ago, and I needed to mow the yard before we went. You know, the grass will still be there when we get back, right? So we get back, and it rains every day for a week or more. And yesterday I spent hours and hours and hours mowing the hay that had grown up in my yard, and it was still wet, and it never gets done. There's always something there. How about the dishes? Everybody loves to do the dishes. Yeah, okay, all right. We got an agreement on one thing. You get them done, they're clean. Next thing you know, it's time to eat, and they're dirty again. It's never done. You know, all those things. Laundry, never done. You know what? As soon as you get those clothes all clean, you put some back on and get dirty. You have to. You can't walk around without them in the world. It just doesn't work that way. Never gets done. All those things like that. Cooking. Somebody's going to get hungry sooner or later. That's how it works. At our house, it's never ending. You know, that's how it works. Work that doesn't seem to pay off, you know. I guess a good example, the company I work for is having a really good year, so we all got a bonus, right? And I'm like, yeah, I got a bonus, and I'm going to spend it on something. And then I had to have a root canal, so I spent it on that, or I'm going to. So, you know, that I'm not griping. I'm not going to complain because I'm glad I had the extra there, you know, and it worked out. But God takes care of those things like that. But still, it seems like you work hard and you get a little bit of, you know, and then there you go. And how about when you work as hard as you can and you do everything you know how to do and you just accomplish nothing, right? Talking about mowing the yard. My wife loves me. She mows the yard for me sometimes. I got a text a few weeks ago. It was time to mow the yard. I'm going to tell this one on you, baby. Sorry. Love you. And it says, I'm telling you something right now. If I go to mow the yard again and the tire is flat on this lawnmower one more time, I'm going to town and I'm getting a new mower. That's it. So five years approximately after the tire started going flat, I fixed it. Okay? But in the meantime, she'd try and help me, and it just frustrated her because, okay, the mower's broken. She can't even do it. You know, we work and we work, and sometimes we get a little something done. Sometimes we don't accomplish anything. It's how work works. So, you know, there's all kinds of things that we could talk about, our jobs, things we do, our hobbies, all those things that we work at. And some of them are pretty cool. Some things we have to do. Like I said, you know, you have to get up. You got to go to work, find a job. You know, today it's tough. Find a way to feed your family, take care of things, take care of yourself. We have to do those things. It's important. We have to do it in life one way or another. But a lot of things we work for, they're just not going to last. They're going to go away. They're not going to stick with us. Most, honestly, I told the band this morning when they got done practicing that most things we work for aren't going to matter in the end. We might enjoy it for a while. We might like it as it goes along. But at the end, it's not really going to add up to too much for us if we're not pretty careful about it. So that brings me to our first scripture this morning, Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 through 21. It says, "Don't collect for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But collect for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And so thinking about that, you know, we do work at a lot of things that don't matter. We work at some things that do matter a lot. You know, but again, we work for things that don't last. How many of you here remember when you got your first car? How many of you are still dreaming that you're going to get that car one day? We work at things like that. I've got a truck at home. I don't drive it a lot, but, you know, once in a while I need to haul something or do something, or I'm going to do something that I'm too dirty to get in Chelsea's car, so I have to drive my truck. And, you know, I had this old truck, and it was just old, wore out, just piece of junk, like a 77 Chevy. Rusted out, you know, the headlights, I don't know why, but, you know, most of the time you worry about leaving your lights on, run your battery down. This truck, you had to turn the key on. Somebody worked on it a little bit, you know, stuff like that. And then I saw this newer truck, a four-wheel drive extended cab Chevrolet Silverado. And so I thought, well, you know, I need a new truck. And I went and I got this truck, and I go to the bank and I borrow money and I buy this truck, and it's nice. It's got a new paint job, runs good, nice, clean, you know, older truck, but just clean as it can be. I've had it a while now. It's rusted out. It's dented up. Had to rebuild the transmission twice. You know, I worked hard for it, but still it just doesn't last. You know, lots of things like that. I can remember when we got our first house. We're excited. We bought a house. We have a house. We have some land. We've had this stuff. And then I had to start mowing the yard. And then the house needed to be painted. And then we had to do some work on it. Just constantly something, even when it's really something we think we're going to enjoy, there's always that work in progress that we have to keep doing and doing just to keep something up that's not going to last forever anyway, you know. That favorite shirt you have. Anybody have that favorite shirt that's your shirt you like to wear? It's going to get holes in it. It's going to get, you know, threadbare. It's going to get wore out. And then you're going to wear it another 10 years until somebody throws it away for you. That's how it works. That favorite pair of jeans that fit better than any other jeans you have. And then you fall down and you rip the whole knee out of them and everything. They're done. They were your favorite, but they don't last. All those things, our jobs, our careers. How many of you just love your job? We have a few people here. I like mine, you know. I don't know. I guess I love it, whatever. You know, it won't last. How many of you you love your job. Do that again. How many of you can't wait to retire from that job? Okay, exactly. That's how long it lasts. That's how it works. So Jesus says, don't collect for yourselves treasures on earth or temporary things where moth and rust destroy, or where somebody can come in and steal it. My old truck that I was in love with that's now rusted out and whatever, somebody could go to the house and steal it today. It could be gone. I mean, I don't know why they would, but they could. So anyway, you know, those things don't last. Jesus says, go ahead and don't worry so much about that. Yeah, we have to have things. We have to have, pretty much most of us that have a job, we have to have a car to get to that job. We have to have some kind of house or apartment or something that we live in so we have a place to stay. We have to have food to eat. We have to have all those things. We have to work at that. But Jesus said, that's just going to last for a little while. You know, you can pile all of it up you want. You can gain everything you want in the world. We can stack up dollar bills as high as the ceiling and just keep doing all these things. But it's just going to last for a little bit, you know. It's just the way it is. It's not going to last forever. One old man that was our pastor for a long time always told this story. I don't know if it's true or not, but I'll repeat it anyway. Just know that it could be not true. But so there was this guy that was getting older and getting near death, and he went and had all of his land, had all the logs cut off of it, cut down all the trees, got all the logs out of it, got all the money out of it. And so somebody asked him, why'd you do that? You know, you're like 90 years old. Why would you do all that? Well, because I've got these sons and son-in-laws and all these guys, and as soon as I'm dead, they're going to do that, and I don't want them to. And so got all that money together, puts it in a briefcase, and has instructions that that's going in his casket with him at his funeral. And as the story goes, when the oldest son came by to pay his respects, he picked up the briefcase with the money and laid a check in there. He said, Dad, it'll be good when you get there. You know, so we can do these things, but we can't make it last. We can't get any real eternal value out of it. There's nothing wrong with working hard. There's nothing wrong with taking care of your family and having nice things. I'm not saying that, but we have to somehow temper that with the fact that there's something out there beyond this life that's going to last for a very long time, and we need to be ready for it when it gets here. And so that's why Jesus said, don't build up treasures on earth. Don't just work for things that will fail you anyway, you know. How many of you that remembered when you got that first car, remembered the first time it wouldn't start? You get my point? I mean, it's just how it works. That's how these things happen. And so he goes on, he says, but collect for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves don't break in and steal. In other words, build up things that matter. What matters? Just an example. How about our relationships in this life? We have relationships with the people around us, whether it be our family. We have a relationship with our family, most of us. Sometimes we don't, but usually. Friends, we all hopefully have some friends that we can hang out with or talk to, something like that. Our spouse, you have to have a relationship with your spouse. I recommend it. It works so much better when you do. It really does. Building up something that's going to last, that's going to matter when life is over. You know, think about that. Our children, you have to have a relationship with your children. You have to talk to them. You have to, you know, do whatever it takes. Get on to them. Congratulate them. Wherever they're at in life, you have to do it. You have to build that relationship. It's going to matter. It's going to count for something one of these days. It just is. That's how we do it. You know, a relationship with our church. It's great to come to church and sit here and listen to somebody preach a sermon and hear the band sing all these amazing songs and all this, but get to know somebody. Get to know somebody here at your church. It's going to make a difference. It's going to help you one day. You know, when you need somebody, they'll be there for you. That's how it works. That's how you build up treasures in heaven, something that's going to last for a while. Here's a big one. How about that relationship with Jesus? All the other stuff's great. All the other stuff's cool. The working and the saving and the building the relationships and going to church and all those things. But if you don't have the relationship with Jesus, it's not going to matter. When that day comes, it's not going to really matter how many times I preached a sermon or how many times we went to church or how many times we gave the offering or anything like that. We have to have that relationship. We have to build that treasure. We have to have that. There's nothing more important than that. That's the number one thing we have to do. Other things we can do, laying up those treasures. How about giving we talked about? How about just caring about people? How about just really honestly caring about people? Helping one another, praying for one another, reaching that hand out when somebody needs it. That's going to build up something that counts, something that'll make a difference for you. It's pretty simple, just helping one another out. And Jesus says, why do we do this? Well, so people will know we're good, right? That's why we want to build up these great treasures and have these good relationships and go to church and do all these things. So everybody will look at us and say, well, boy, they're a really good person. No, that's not what it's all about. You know, think about that for a while. Jesus said there in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. That's how it works. It shows up in our life, and people around us see it, and maybe they'll begin to wonder, why when we should be down and out and disgusted, we still have a smile on our face? Why when things are hard, we still act like it's easy? Think about that. It's going to make a difference. Where your heart is, or where your treasure is, they go together just like that. It's just that simple. The things that we work for, the things that we strive toward. And you know, whether we think that there's something we can do here about these verses or not, there is. You know, think about that. Now, you may be sitting here thinking, Lee, yeah, I know, I've heard this verse before, right? I shared with the worship team this morning that this is a message, these are verses, this is a scripture that probably almost everyone here has heard before at one point or another, but you haven't got to hear it from me yet, you know. So that's what we're doing here this morning. And you may think, well, yeah, you know, treasures on earth, treasures in heaven. I don't know the difference. I'm just here because it makes me feel good to go to church. I'm just here because I know I should be. I'm just here to do something, you know, just because I know I can at least do something if I show up to church. I'll feel good when I go home and all those things. So, but the truth is, even though we think that way sometimes, whether there's something in our mind that we need to be doing or not doing, or whether we know that God has some specific plan for us, He does. That brings me to my next verse this morning, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. This is one of my favorite verses in the entire Bible. There's all these thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands of verses in the Bible. This is one of my favorites. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says, I therefore, he was in jail. He was in prison for his faith when he wrote this. He says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you or beg you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. And a couple of reasons that's one of my favorite verses. It tells me when it says walk worthy of the vocation to which you are called, it tells me that God cares enough about me as an individual to give me, just me, something that only I can do. Only I will be able to accomplish, and He's given me that job to do. Now, it's up to me to talk to Him and study and do the things and pray and figure out exactly what it is. But it tells me that He's got something I can do for Him. You know what else it tells me? It tells me that each and every one of us has the same opportunity. It tells me that each and every one of us, where He says, walk worthy of the vocation or the work, the job that God has called you to do, it tells me that He has given each one of us a purpose in this life. We're not just wandering around here, flipping and flopping back and forth and up and down and side to side, just kind of floating through life and just making our way because we don't really matter anyway. No, it's not like that. God says we have something that He has given us to do, and we are the ones that can accomplish it. We're that special to Him. That's one of my favorite verses. So when we get to thinking about working for God, working for Jesus, working towards something that will matter, we don't have to just sit back and kind of scratch our head and be like, well, you know, I'm not going to preach. I'm not going to teach a class. I'm certainly not going to play in the band or any of those things. I'm not going to work in the tech booth. I'm not going to volunteer at church. Maybe you're not. Maybe you're not. But there is still something that God wants each one of us to do. And we can do it because He wants us to. It's that simple. So think about that. It's not to the, He didn't say walk worthy to the vocation if you're called. It says to which you're called. Think about that. God cares enough about us. You know, in today's economy, if you watch the news or listen to it on the radio or read the newspaper, however you get your information, if you get any, we hear a lot about jobs. People are looking for jobs. People are losing their jobs. People are hoping to find one. I talked to a lady. My job at work, I drive from place to place talking to customers about the business that we do and trying to, you know, somehow convince them that they should do business with us. And I met a lady at one company, and she said, how long have you been with these people that you work for? And I said, oh, a little over 11 years, you know, quite a while. And she said, wow, that's amazing. And she seemed to really know what was going on there. So I said, I guess you've been here quite a while, right? She said, oh, no. This was just a couple months ago that I had this conversation. She said, I just started working here in January. I said, oh, okay, got a new job. She said, no, I got a job. I have been without a job for almost 5 years. That's incredible, isn't it? Think about that. We hear these stories and we know these things are true, and some of you may be in that situation. I don't know. But God cares enough about us to give us something to do right up front. He says we're not going to go jobless with Him. We just need to go ahead and do our part and walk and do the best we can to do the job that He's given us. That's pretty cool, isn't it? So it's not that hard to start laying up those treasures in heaven. Like I said, we just have to pray, study the Bible, see what it has to say, see what God has to say to us, and then go do it. And when that light comes on one of these days, it's an amazing thing. You know, just remember that. And I know probably, maybe we're sitting here thinking, well, yeah, I want to do something for God. I need to. And now Lee has really put the pressure on me because he showed me this verse that says there's something there for me to do. And I know most of us spend a great deal of our lives wondering exactly what that is. What is our purpose here on this earth? How are we going to know what God wants us to do? How are we going to do this? And how can we ever make any sense of it at all? We know part of it already. We know part of it already, each one of us. No matter who you are, you have this within you to know. I'm going to share another scripture with you this morning that kind of, I don't know, may seem rough to some of you. It does to me when I read it, but that's okay. In Numbers, the book of Numbers, chapter 15, there's a little story here that says, while the Israelites were in the wilderness, they found a man gathering wood on the Sabbath day. Those who found him gathering wood brought him to Moses, Aaron, and the entire community. They placed him in custody because it had not been decided what should be done to him. This is kind of tough to read. Then the Lord told Moses, the man is to be put to death. The entire community is to stone him outside the camp. So the entire community brought him outside the camp and stoned him to death as the Lord had commanded Moses. Seems pretty rough at first, doesn't it? Dude was picking up some firewood and they killed him. But it's just this simple. When we begin that search, when we begin to wonder and to think and to pray, God, what am I supposed to do for you? What is my purpose here in this life? The best way I know of that I can share with you today to get started on that journey is to just simply do what's right. You know, you can't go wrong if you're doing what's right, right? And again, this sounds like a pretty harsh thing here. In the King James Version of the Bible, it says the man was out on the Sabbath day picking up sticks. And so they stoned him. But it's just really kind of a little illustration. Just do what we know is right. That'll get us started up every time if we just do what we know is right. Now, yeah, it seems rough that they took the man outside the camp and they stoned him because he was picking up some wood on the Sabbath day. But the fact of it is that if, I didn't put it on the screen, but if you back up a couple verses here, to verse 30 in that same chapter, it says, but the person who acts defiantly, whether native or foreign resident, blasphemes the Lord, that person is to be cut off from his people. He will certainly be cut off because he has despised the Lord's word and broken his command. His guilt remains on him. So the fact of the story is that the man knew he wasn't supposed to be doing it. Back in this time, they had been, God had given Moses the Ten Commandments, and they had been directed as a people to study them, follow them, and keep them at all costs, to teach them to their children, to write them on the doorways of their homes so that everybody would know what they stood for and what they believed in. And if you didn't want to do that, you didn't have to, but there was a price that had to be paid. So what happened was the man simply was not doing what was right. There was a consequence to his actions. I know today, in the society we live in the United States, if I deliberately plan and conspire and go out and do something that's against the law, I know what's going to happen because I'm not smart enough to keep from getting caught. Okay? That's what happened to this man. Wasn't that he was a bad guy, probably. Well, maybe he was. The Bible doesn't say a lot about it. Wasn't that he was a murderer or anything like that. It's simply that he looked at what God had said, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do that, and said, you know what? I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. I don't care what God says. I'm going to do it my way because I'm me and I can do it. Well, if we want to lay up treasures in heaven, if we want to have something that will last and something that will count while we're working along and the work's still in progress, do what's right. You're not going to mess up at it. If you open up the Bible and read it, you know, if you're like most people, you start reading and you say, well, I don't know what that means. I don't understand that. And then you flip over here a few more chapters and you go, oh, that makes no sense to me, but it's in there. And then you finally, oh, wait. Hey, plain English. God said this, so that's what it means. You know, we have to work at it. We have to try. Well, you can't go wrong by reading the Bible, because it's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be studying and learning about God, right, as Christians. If we go out and just lend a helping hand to somebody, not going to go wrong, because it's the right thing to do, right? Years ago, I was pastoring at a church over, just kind of over, barely into Christian County, and we were teaching a teen class there. Me and another guy, he was also from Ava, but they'd moved over kind of that way and was going to church with us. And I said something about, you know, I said, the guy's name's Brian. I said, now, if Brian went to work and he stole from his employer and did, you know, just make an example to the teenagers, I said, you know, he's going to get in trouble. They catch him, they're going to fire him from his job. They might even, you know, press charges. He might wind up in jail. But Brian's not going to do that. And I said, why not, Brian? And it was so simple. It wasn't, oh, because Jesus is in my heart and soul and I'm living as a Christian. Not all this complicated stuff. Brian said, I'm not going to do that because it's just not right. Pretty simple, right? God makes it that way for us. If you're like me, it has to be simple or it's not going to make a lot of sense to you. So if we just simply do what's right when we know we ought to be doing it, it's going to work out for us pretty well. It's pretty simple, you know. Again, not that this guy picking up the sticks was a bad guy. It's just that he knew he was doing a bad thing. That's how we get started on it. And then we start thinking things like, well, yeah, we could do what's right, but that doesn't mean we're doing what God specifically wants us to do. We can do all these things, and you know, we can go to church like we were talking about, but it doesn't mean that's the only thing God wants us to do. How are we ever going to figure it out? I'm sure that I'm not the only one here that has sat back some days and thought, whoa, is this really what I should be doing? Or do I need to do something else? You know, we have those moments where we grow, where we learn, where we progress in our life. It's just how it works, you know. Wouldn't it be cool if each one of us, when we were a little baby and we were born and we just about a year old got up there where we could walk and talk a little bit, could automatically start quoting scripture and start preaching to one another and telling everybody about Jesus, but it just doesn't work that way. It's work in progress. We get stronger in it as we go. How many of you here today have the job that you have now have been there a year or more? 5 years? 10 years? 15 years? 20? Good grief, I'll cut off there. I'm guessing you know a little bit more about it today than the first day you walked through that door and said, hey, I'm the new guy. What do you want me to do? And everybody said, just stay out of the way and it'll be all right, you know. That's how this works. We don't automatically just jump up and say, oh, God has given me this great plan for my life and I will follow it faithfully till the day I die. We learn as we go most of the time. He brings us along to the places he needs us to be when he needs us to be there. That's how it works. And so thinking about that journey, let's go to the starting point over in Matthew chapter 11. Just a couple verses here, 28 through 30. And this is Jesus talking, by the way. He says, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me." There you go. We learn as we go. We take up the cross. We take up that yoke that Jesus places on us and learn from him. "Because I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." See, we make it this thing that it's not really supposed to be. We make it this great, difficult, terrible thing to understand when Jesus really says, "Just come to me, learn about me, study about me, and I'll take care of the rest. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. I'll show you what you need to do, and then I'll basically do it for you if you'll let me." That's how it works. That's how we lay up treasures in heaven. That's how we get to the end as a success. That's how it works. You know, it's not hard to work for Jesus. We think of it as, "Oh, woe is me. I'm just a poor, persecuted Christian in a world full of sinners." It's not like that, folks. Not where we're at. Really, it's not that hard to work for him. Did you know Jesus does not require a pre-employment screening? He doesn't. He says, "Come to me." That's what this verse says. Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, I'll give you rest." He doesn't have to know, he doesn't have to do any physical on us. He doesn't have to know that we can lift 50 pounds 75 times an hour at a high rate of speed or something like that. He doesn't do that. There's no physical when we begin to work for Jesus. There's no background check. He doesn't go and say, "Well, it looks like that once, Lee, when you were 19 years old, you were arrested and nearly thrown in jail, and that's enough about that." Okay? Jesus doesn't do that. He doesn't do that. He said, "Come to me." Who? All of you who are weary and burdened. Every one of us. He doesn't say, "Well, come unto me, all of you who passed the test. Come unto me, all of you who can read and write. Come unto me, all of you who can work in the hot sun all day. Come unto me, everybody that's able to do everything I ever want them to do without a second's notice." He doesn't even require. Did you know Jesus doesn't even do a drug test? In this day and time, any job you get a drug. Well, except for school teachers, right? Okay. Weird thing, but that's how it works. Just saying. All right. In this day and time, if you get a job and you go to the interview and they say, "Well, we want you to work for us, but we have to have this background check and do this, and you have to go do your drug test and all that kind of stuff." And anybody ever have to do that? I've done it just pretty much every job I've ever had that was part of it, had to go do it. Jesus doesn't even do that. He doesn't care. He doesn't care about who we are right now. He cares about who we're going to be when he's done with us. That's how it works. It's just that simple. Think about that. Wouldn't it be awful if we had to go through all those things? Wouldn't it be awful if we were trying to reach a Savior that wasn't reaching toward us in the first place? It'd be pretty rough, wouldn't it? A lot of people, I think, in this life try and do it that way. A lot of people try and make it that way. But it's not. Jesus just says, "Come. Come unto me. I'll take your burden. I'll do your work. I'll give you rest. You just learn about me and the rest. From there, we got it made." It's pretty simple. But again, it's just like when I was asking a minute ago, how long have we been at our jobs? If you haven't started yet, you're not ever going to finish. It's pretty simple. So at this time, I want to ask everybody to just kind of bow your heads and take a moment to think. Maybe you're here this morning and you haven't begun that journey. You haven't started. You don't even know Jesus. Think about that. Maybe that's where you're at in life. Well, The Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So when he said a couple thousand years ago, come to me all of you who are weary and burdened, I will give you rest, he still means it today. If that's you, you're here this morning, you don't know him, but you want to, you know you need to, and you're ready to, how about just giving that little sign of just raising that hand up there and saying, yeah, that's me. I got to turn to him. No, I need to. Have to. If that's you this morning, would you do that? All right. I'm going to take it that everybody here knows him already. Now, the second part of that, he gives us a little bit of instruction here. All of you, take up my yoke and learn from me. Because I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. Any of you Christians here this morning at the point where you need some rest, where you need to know that he's got it covered, that the yoke's easy, the burden's light, if that's you this morning, just raise that hand. Say, Lord, there's one hand. Say, Lord, that and another. Lord, that's me. I need to feel that easy yoke. I need that burden to be lightened a little bit. Lord, that's me. I think we all get there from time to time. I know we do. So if you're here this morning and that's you, I want to urge you, whatever way I can, just turn to him. Say, Lord, I know I got to do something. I know that you have things in store for me. Lord, just lighten up everything else so I know which way to turn. Those of you that raise your hands, just reach. It's just pretty simple. It's just a sign of reaching up to a God that's reaching down to us. Always reaching down to us. So this morning we're going to pray. We're going to ask God to help us, to lead us, to guide us, because nobody else can do it like he can. And when I'm finished praying, I'm going to get out of the way, and the band's going to start up, and we're going to worship God. And I want to encourage each one of you to worship him however you want to, raising your hands, standing to your feet, coming up here and getting down on your knees, whatever it takes, get to where Jesus needs you to be this morning. Father, we thank you for another chance to mention your name, another chance to brag about you, another chance to know, God, that you care about us. So, Lord, we want to reach up to you this morning, and we definitely need you to reach back down to us. Lord, we ask that you would make it clear to each and every one this morning what it is that you want us to do, because we know we can do it if we've got you on our side. And so, Lord, we ask that you just continue to be with us, continue to lead us as only you can. And God, if any good thing at all comes from what we do, we want to stop and give you the praise and the glory and the honor for it, because we know it came from you. And we ask these things in your blessed and holy name.